Very good. Let's continue where we left off yesterday. We made a list of the string field theories that are in reasonably good shape, and I talked about the open string field theory in lots of detail, and you will see material again in tomorrow's lecture by Martin and Friday's lecture by Yuji. Monday, Yuji, yes, there's no Friday lecture, Monday lecture by Yuji. And so you will get to see more of the tools that are necessary to find classical solutions of open string field theory, which has been the reason why there's some progress in the field in the last few years, and several new ideas that still have to play out and may have implications for other string field theories, in fact. So I stick to my plan to explain a little about all these other string field theories rather than to go into more details of the open string field theory. I think there's a good chance that some of the ideas that are currently used need some clever modification to be applicable to other theories and may give us suggestions as to how to formulate better string field theories. So, in fact, there's probably a lot of interplay between the pure spinner ideas and the string field theory ideas that they can help each other make progress. So I'll just go ahead and continue explaining some of these string field theories. So the list we had started was open bosonic strings, then closed strings, then open superstrings, and finally heterotic strings. So we have string field theories for all of those, and my goal is to give you a feeling, both algebraic and somewhat geometrical, as to why these string field theories work. In many ways, each of these string field theories required significant progress in order that they could be formulated. We've seen the open bosonic string field theory, people or with them had to realize that Q played an important role and cube psi was an equation of motion, cube psi equals zero. Was also very clever to devise an associative multiplication. It's very difficult and very original. For closed strings, the main complication was the small complication was what we dealt last time, the subsidiary conditions, B0 minus B0 bar. And the real complication was generating a cover of the moduli space of Riemann surfaces. And only when that problem was under control, we could write the closed string field theory. For the open superstring field theory, the problem has been picture changing. And in order to overcome that, we have the large Hilbert space and the ideas that Nathan used to formulate open superstring field theory. For heterotic string field theory, you do heterosis between an open bosonic string field theory and a Berkowitz superstring, and it's a rather original construction, how you can mix the two string field theories together. It remains to be done something for the type 2 superstrings, even in the Neve-Schwarz sector. And that has not been done yet. And it's, again, as you will see, it just seems if somebody would have a very clever idea, maybe it would actually be very natural and simple. So my goal in presenting these things is to just let you know what's happening, what have been the main ideas that succeeded, and maybe we'll get a feeling of where we have to go in order to make progress. So
are you going to discuss what people try to do?
I'm going to say a little bit of what fails. You will see the reason why there is a complication, at least, and you never know. You know, things look complicated and seem to fail, and you try something that and go ahead, but you will see why obvious things don't work. So we were doing the closed bosonic string, and one thing we decided was that the string field had to have a subsidiary condition B0 minus psi equals 0, L0 minus psi equals 0. The string field, in this case, modeled after the natural matter vertex operator acting on the vacuum or in some momentum, it's a ghost number 2 field, and it's Grassmann even, as opposed to the open string field, that naturally being C times the matter vertex operator is Grassmann odd. Now, we wrote a kinetic term. We said that the kinetic term, S2, would be 1/2 psi cube psi, but just with the definition that this inner product now, A, B, includes C0 minus, and C0 minus is C0 minus C0 bar over 2. C0 minus with B0 minus is equal to 1. So after you hide the C0 minus in the inner product, in the bilinear inner product, you write this term like this, and this action so far has a gauge invariant delta psi equal q lambda, where everything, lambda also satisfies this subsidiary condition, and lambda is ghost number 1, because this is ghost number 2, and Grassmann odd. So this is the free theory, and now we have to do interactions. Now, how did we do open string interactions? We had the idea that the right half of the first string must coincide with the left half of the second string to form a third string, which was the product. This multiplication is associative, as we discussed, and it's certainly not commutative. If the right half of the first string coincides with the left half of the second string, you can multiply. But in this case, 2 times 1 doesn't work, because the right half of the second string doesn't coincide with the left half of the first. So it's definitely non-commutative, and that's very important. What happens in closed strings, however, is very different. In a closed string, that, you know, people tried for years to define the best possible multiplication following Witten, but there was no solution that was dramatically successful. And the way you multiply closed strings here, you have the first closed string, and the second closed string is here. And there's no notion of the beginning or end of the closed string, but in order to be possible to multiply them, half of the first string must coincide with half of the second string. That's the best multiplication you can devise. Once you have this, however, it's clear that if half of the first coincides with half of the second, half of the second coincides with half of the first, and this product is naturally commutative, up to signs at most if you have Grassmann odd things. But this is a very different kind of object. This is not a star product. This is more like a Lie bracket, in which it's just either commutative or anti-commutative. XY is minus YX. So the product of closed strings should not be written as a star. The product of closed strings should be written as the product of two string fields is something like that, and it's graded commutative, so it's minus 1 to the AB BA. So that's a very significant difference between closed and open strings. Now, this, if you try to think even of associativity, in terms of associativity, you will see that there is a problem with associativity. Let me do one thing here. If you cannot speak of associativity, but suppose you had 1 times 2 and then you decided to multiply times 3. Well, suppose here is 3. Maybe this color is not clear enough. So it coincides like this and goes up here. Now, suppose this is 3 and you wanted to do 1 times 2 times 3. Well, you certainly can do 1 times 2. It gives you this closed string that is over here. And you can do times 3 now because half of 3 coincides with half of the product. But you could not do 2 times 3. So associativity is not the right language. You have a different situation now. So we have a product now. I want to say a couple more things about this product. This product has the property that the ghost number of AB is actually equal to the ghost number of A plus the ghost number of B minus 1. And the reason is the following. You have, basically, we have the feeling that these products are essentially correlators using this geometry. But once you multiply, you must stay in the state space. And there's no reason why what you do naively of correlating two things will satisfy B0 minus. So B0 minus is imposed after you do this operation. Yes? No, nobody has managed to do that. That's right. So if you could change that even at the kinetic term level, you would have a hope. You see, I have having played with this for a very long time, I know that if anybody will ever succeed to relax this will be a totally different beast. Will be fabulous, extraordinary. I don't think it's so easy. But
are really Bosch conditions necessary?
Well, you know, these are a priori conditions without, you don't have to act with Q. These are a priori conditions on the state space. And for example, this condition is physically imposed just by pure cohomology. You know that if you study the cohomology problem in closed strings, you don't have physical states that violate this condition, for example. If a result of this workshop, this is relaxed, would be fabulous. Yes? Yes. You see, ghost number 2, 2, and that will be ghost number 3, and that is okay because look what we have here. Cube psi already is one ghost number more. So if you would say keep the logic, cube psi is not anymore a string field. So this is fine. This has ghost number 2, 3. And this has ghost number 2 plus 1 ghost number is 6 that you must have here. So, but it's true. It doesn't map, the product naively doesn't map that. But now we can add this interaction term, 1 over 3, psi, psi, psi. So this would be the cubic interaction term, and we could add here lambda psi. Yes?
So the problem is the processing part for that is the directly, because we don't know where exactly to take the 2 points for the voltage change.
Yes.
So it's continuously defined.
No, well, everything has, you know, it's up to rotation, so it's completely well defined. Every closed spring state has the L0 minus L0 bar constraint. So you average and sum over all these possibilities, basically. You're integrating over all possibilities of the points selected in doing the product. Why this product preserves what? Oh, I'm sorry, it doesn't preserve it either. So this product, operationally speaking, does the correlator, inserts a B0 minus, and projects to L0 minus L0 bar. Has to do all those things. You certainly want to project into L0 minus L0 bar, and you want to state, you see, this is the state space. We began with HCFT, but we reduced it down to some H closed that satisfies this, and we definitely want to stay within that space. So this product has those properties. Now, this, you can ask if this produces a gauge invariance, and it would produce a gauge invariance if this bracket that defines a Lie algebra, if you might think, satisfies the following condition: A, B, C, plus minus some signs. B, C, A, plus minus, depending on the statistics of these elements, C, A, B, equals zero. If this would be true, if this bracket defined a Lie algebra by satisfying a Jacobi identity, then this would be gauge invariant. This would be the analog of what Witten did. You would have a cubic closed string field theory, and you would be done. The fact is, because of these issues that you have over here of rotation of the string, is that this, in a covariant theory, is never zero. And there are essentially theorems formulated by Sonoda and myself, not extraordinarily rigorous, but they're very convincing that there's no choice of any other picture of closed strings interacting that will manage to make this zero. Now, I want to emphasize to illustrate, there's a little difference, for example, in the light cone that is very interesting. If you have in the light cone closed string field theory is cubic. So how does it manage the light cone closed string field theory to be cubic? Well, it is really a little bit like this. Suppose you have a string that we call A here, and a string that we call B here, and a string that we call C here. So the product of two closed strings in the light cone, like A times B, would be this whole string like this. Times C would be this whole string that would go like that. Now, if you look at this thing, you can certainly do B times C, that's this closed string, times A. This one exists. And also exists A times B times C. This one exists. This one doesn't exist. So actually, this cancels that, and you get zero. And that's how Jacobi works in the light cone. Nevertheless, covariantly, it just doesn't happen. It can be done. So, how do you fix this problem? Questions or yes?
The light cone is no residual gauge there.
Yes. It's just Lorentz symmetry. So actually, you need this Jacobi for J minus I, the Lyapunov-Lorentz generator needs a Jacobi identity. So if you want to prove the Lorentz symmetry of the Lyapun, essentially you got down to the same or similar structures than in the covariant theory. So how do we fix this? This can be fixed in field theory if there exists a new product, a triple product, three strings, intrinsically new product in which three strings multiply to get another one. Well, because the Lyapun requires string lengths that must be attached to a physical quantity, P plus, and you don't have that covariancy. Seems like a minor thing, but it's a tremendous problem. So basically, the closed strings in the Lyapun all are parameterized from 0 to 2 pi. Here, you admit a parameterization with p plus 1, p plus 2. This can have p plus 1 plus p plus 2, and it's twice as long. But you sort of have to preserve length within the closed string, at least intuitively. So how can you fix this? You can fix this if the failure of the Jacobi identity is equal to the failure of a new product to be a derivation of the BRST operator. So it's Q on this. And what is the failure of this being a derivation? Minus QA, B, C, sines, A, Q, B, C, sines, A, B, QC. If this is true, if there is a three product whose failure to derivate is equal to the failure of the Jacobi identity, then you can go on, and this will be fixed by adding 1 over 4 factorial psi, the fourth product. And this will have a correction, lambda, psi, psi, and you will save the gauge invariance. Well, you get the picture of what's going to happen here. You're going to need all of the products. Again, just like Einstein's theories, non-polynomial in the conventional variables, this theory is non-polynomial, and as far as we can tell, there's no simple trick to make it polynomial. If there's any way to make it polynomial, probably you will have to change something very deep about it. So, this kind of structure has a name in mathematics. It's called the homotopy Lie algebra. So it's a Lie algebra that doesn't have a Jacobi identity. There is up to a homotopy, it's called. The homotopy is provided by this thing. I want to give you there's more things with perhaps might be worth noticing the products. Let me see something more about the products. These products, say B1, B2, up to Bn, such a ghost number property. So the ghost number, we saw the ghost number of this one, it reduced 1. So actually, you certainly have minus 1, and then you have plus the ghost number of all the Bi's. But there is a little more to this. When you have a three product, you really are speaking about four strings, the three that come in and the one that is the product. This is associated to a moduli space of four interacting strings, which is the moduli space of four strings in a sphere. is just the complex plane in the position of one of the punctures. So you need two anti-ghost insertions to compensate for this moduli. So for each modulus, which is equal to n minus 2, because if there are three things here, it's like a four-point function, you have two moduli and this number of anti-ghost insertions. Two anti-ghost insertions for each complex modulus. So you have that and will play a role. So let me show you the full identity. The signs are correct here. And so that doesn't mean there are no other conventions, but this B1 plus BI minus 1. So here it is. The failure of these two derivatives is these two terms that I'm going to write here. B1 up to QBI up to BN. That's the failure of this thing to derivate. And here comes the generalized Jacobi identity. Sum over IL partitions, IL JK, sigma, a sign factor, IL JK, BI1 up to BIL, and then the second bracket, BJ1 up to BJK. This whole thing equals to zero. So this is a Jacobi thing, two brackets. So what do you have to do here? You're supposed to take, you see, all these things are graded commutative. So you can, the order in which you put them doesn't matter up to a sign. So you basically have the n inputs, and you have to break them into two groups. Select five of them, and three of them if you have eight. And then put those here, sum over all these splittings. And this sign factor is the sign to rearrange this sequence, QB1 up to BN, into BI1 up to BIL, QBJ1 up to BJK. Please ask me if this is not precise, if I forgot to say something. All the splittings, so the order of the splitting doesn't matter, just the elements on each splitting, because you won't sum for different positions here. So you grab all the string fields, you take a few, you call them I1 up to IL, and there's the sign in which you would move these things in order to put them in this order here. So this is, in fact, the general identity of a homotopy Lie algebra. The generalized, the first, if you take this with three string fields, you will get this identity with its proper signs. If you get it with two string fields, you will show that it's a Q is a derivation. And, well, it looks a little cumbersome with signs, but if with a little bit of BV technology and some good notation, you can convince yourself that the action equals 1/2 psi cube psi plus 1 over n factorial, well, sum from I equal 3, n equal 3, to infinity 1 over n factorial psi up to the psi with n minus 1 psi's here is the full action. So 3, n, yeah. And the full gauge transformation is delta psi equal q lambda plus sum from n equal 1 to infinity of 1 over n factorial lambda psi n of those. So the action is not tremendously difficult to write. It's here. The gauge transformation is not very difficult, and this identity guarantees this gauge invariant. So, well, certainly for small size, perfectly good. You can do perturbation theory, reproduce the Polyakov theory. Everything is good for.
Do you know something about how size grows?
Well, we don't know too much, but certainly if we use it in the path integral language, we'll reproduce the Feynman expansion. There's been less evidence, however, that this theory has solutions that lie far. Some partial evidence. Yuji Okawa and myself did one of these orbifolds that Joe used to do of type 2, in which a cone flattened up, and found some evidence that this described it. The evidence was not very clear because it's all sort of approximate. You work with some number of terms and try to hope for the best. But we don't know. Absolutely. All the products can be redefined and changed, and they, if you change them, you get different decompositions of moduli space. Now, certainly in matters of proving that something gives you a cell decomposition of moduli space, you have to choose some convention because you're not powerful enough to do it in general. So I'm going to show you, just to finish up this discussion of closed strings, how the vertices look. You know, most explanations of string field theory go through the open string and they come to the closed string and say, well, it's similar, but it's a lot more difficult, so that's it, let's not discuss it. I want to show you just for you to see the vertices, how they look, and you will see that at least conceptually they're extremely simple, and we'll, you know, computationally speaking, they're, you know, they're difficult, but in a sense, you know, I gave you a picture here, we can give you a picture for all the higher ones. So, and then we'll leave it there.
Sorry.
Yes?
What's the relationship between this story and the A infinity algebra?
The A infinity algebra is the homotopy associative, which is the version, if you took Witten string field theory and didn't insist on associativity, but you had higher terms, you used the product was not strictly associative. You could fix it by a higher product and then write a very analogous non-polynomial algebra, and the identity that is over there would look a little different, and those would be the defining identities of the A infinity algebra.
Why would you want to do that?
Sorry?
Why would you want to do that?
Well, at this moment, we probably don't want to do it to find classical solutions because this action looks more complicated. The advantage of an A infinity structure is that associativity has always been delicate. Some string fields are not associative, but homotopy associativity is a lot less delicate because you keep things sort of away from the midpoint. You never talk about the midpoint. It's sort of safer. Another side, either complication or advantage, is that the closed strings must be added by hand once you put a homotopy associative open string to your theory, because essentially you sort of separate the open strings, you don't let them collapse enough to create closed string poles. You may view that as an advantage or as a disadvantage, it's not clear. Certainly, closed strings, when they appear in Witten string field theory, they appear in a rather singular way, and that has been our fate. Well, if I define, you know, if I define the classical open string field theory action with what I've been calling little stubs in the vertices, this action will not satisfy the Batalion-Wilkowski master equation, and the only way to fix it at the quantum level is adding the closed string. So, you know, physically, that's exactly true. Okay, so pictures. I want to describe this picture because it's pretty. So we have here. So how did we describe three open strings interacting? Well, three open strings interacting, we describe them like this. And what was this picture supposed to be? Strictly speaking, it was a joining instruction. I told you last time you had three strips, three semi-infinite strips, and these are the joining instructions for these edges of the strips. And then you got your three string vertex. For closed strings, we essentially alluded to the joining instructions, and you would draw them like that, three closed strings like that. You would, if you wanted to be a little more pictorial, you would add three infinite cylinders, but if you want. But really, better to stick to this graph only and think of three semi-infinite cylinders that are like here, and that's, say, one, red, and that might be this one, and blue, the joining instruction. Here is the right. So that's the joining instruction defines the vertex completely. Well, what is the four-point vertex? The four-point vertex is the following joining instruction. You can guess it. It's a tetrahedron. You must glue one string to the bottom, one to each face. Nevertheless, you're sought to produce a region of the moduli space. What do you know? All these closed strings have the same length, 2 pi. Well, if you have this thing and all of the sides have the same length, you will convince yourself you have 4 constraints and 6 edges. So you have A, length B, C. You will find that this, maybe I should do dotted, otherwise nobody will know which way this is. This is A, C, B. Each face has A, C, B, A, C, B, A, C, B. And A plus B plus C is equal to 2 pi. So this is the joining instruction, and now you see part of the problem. Even when you had the product of two strings, 2 points were enough. Now strings sort of interact at 3 points. Each string is joining other string at 3 points. So this is going to get more interesting. Now, here it is. Each face has circumference 2 pi, because all closed strings have circumference 2 pi. And the region of moduli space, you would say, okay, here is A, B, and C. The region of A plus B plus C equal to 2 pi is this. 2 pi here, 2 pi here, and 2 pi here. The region of moduli space that you need for this vertex, so this is the joining instruction, but A, B, and C vary, subject to this constraint, and one more inequality. The inequality is that every non-trivial closed path in this polyhedron must be longer than 2 pi. So for example, you have a closed path that goes like this, as it closes here. It must be longer than 2 pi. So this is C plus B, 2C plus B, must be greater than 2 pi, which means C plus B must be greater than pi, which means A must be less than pi, B must be less than pi, and C must be less than pi. Well, that's a little triangle here. This is the region that you must integrate. So let me summarize. What is the interaction? This graph, cylinders coming in, integrate over this polyhedron that has faces all of perimeter 2 pi, and where every closed path that you can imagine, non-trivial closed path, is longer than 2 pi. So it's a polyhedron that each face has 2 pi, and you cannot find a way to go around non-trivially to be shorter than 2 pi. Yes? The two edges of what?
The same length.
Yes. Right. That's right. If you put six variables and you put four equations, you will find this solution that I wrote. So that's the four-point function, and the five is not more complicated. It's a polyhedron with five faces, all of whose closed non-trivial paths are greater than 2 pi. That's the same for 6, for 7, for 8, over. That's it. That's a description of all the interactions. So you have a very clear picture of what each interaction is at each level. Whether you could compute them, it's a lot harder, but the picture is clear. So I'm done with closed strings, and I'm going to move on. This implies that A must be less than pi, B must be less than pi, C must be less than pi, and that's that triangle over here, is the barycentric subdivision. If you want a little more details, I could tell you the following. This is part of the moduli space of four puncture spheres, because you have four cylinders. So this is the region provided by this vertex. This is the S channel, T channel, and U channel, and this is the whole moduli space. It's a theorem of Strabo that if you form all the polyhedra with all possible sides lengths, subject to this constraint, you cover moduli space. So that's it. Strabo says, in this picture, you get the whole thing. But you only need this part because these parts are produced by ST and U. And it's sort of very pretty how it all works, even though it's very detailed. So that defines the classical theory. We could talk about the quantum theory, but I don't think we should do that. I move to superstring now for a little bit. Yes, Gary.
I mean, there is a picture that if you go to the Kaplan vacuum, there's a theory that we know open string space, but they have closed string space.
Yes.
So I gather that is there any evidence that this type of structure emerges from the region of open string?
Not really very clear evidence. You see, closed strings appear very through the back door in open string field theory. So people have done some analysis and tried to take the open string and move it to the vacuum and try to argue that the perturbation theory sees no open string states, but perhaps some complicated closed string states in open string language, but nothing yet. Nothing pleasant has happened yet about that. Okay. Move to superstrings. So what happens with superstrings? Well, there's some interesting complications as well. So Neve-Schwarz open superstring. So basically, I'm describing work of Nathan here, and let me begin by the standard lore about superstrings. There is the complications in superstring theory of a beta-gamma system of superghosts. And these are first-order system. The conformal field theory has just one derivative, but they're bosonic, and that causes all kinds of difficulties that are led to, these are bosonic, to a fermionization, in which you introduced beta, was written in terms of a psi field, a phi field, and gamma, eta, and phi as well. So you trade beta, gamma for psi, eta, and phi. And, well, that's part of the story. There's these things, these phi carry picture number. A very natural definition of picture number for these things is that this has picture number minus one. These have zero picture number, so this has picture number plus one, eta minus one. We'll do a little table to make sure we get all these things right. But if you were doing the conventional BRST approach to open superstrings, you would say, all right, by now open string theory Q on the state killing it seems the right field equation. And indeed, people look at that and they say, well, phi in the never short sector is typically a ghost, e to the minus phi, and a matter vertex operator on the vacuum. That's the canonical Neve-Schwarz minus one picture because of the minus e to the minus phi. And this thing has is dimension zero. This has dimension minus one. E to the minus phi has dimension 1/2. And the matter vertex operator has dimension 1/2. A typical state could be a C1 e to the minus phi, a psi mu minus 1/2 oscillator or something like that. So this is this thing, if this is a matter primary of dimension one, well, it will be BRST invariant. And this is the canonical field that we imagine. So the thing to remember about this field is that it has ghost number of this field is equal to 1. We won't have ghost number with this. And picture number, and I'll call it P, equal to minus 1. And probably I should do the little table now. If you have psi and eta, and you have the dimension, the ghost number and the picture number, this is a dimension zero field, a dimension one field, a ghost number minus one field, you can see it from here, ghost number plus one field, picture number plus one, picture number minus one. This have picture, so this is picture minus one. If I put here e to the minus q phi, well, the dimension is a little complicated formula. The ghost number is zero and the picture number is minus q. Okay. No. C and eta are these anti-commuting fields, and dimension 0 and 1. This is dimension minus 3/2, dimension plus, no, this is minus 1/2, this is plus 3/2, zero picture, ghost number minus 1, ghost number 1. I see. Okay. All right. Now, correlators need picture number, total picture number minus 2. The non-vanishing correlator on the disk is something like that. See? So you need ghost number 3 and picture number minus 2. So you seem to be in fine shape here. And you could try to do an action in which you have one half, phi hat. Now this is the open string inner product, no C0 minus here, nothing like that, Q phi hat. That looks good. Picture minus one. Picture minus one, you got your minus two. Picture those number one, those number one, those number one, you're fine. But as soon as you try to write the interaction, some sort of phi, 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 well, you've got three minus one pictures, and you need to add a picture changing operator, usually called X, that has picture equal plus one. And that's where all the problems begin. Yes? No, this is the small Hilbert space yet. This is, we'll put the psi a little later. You see, at this moment, only the derivative of psi appears here. So we're using just this thing. So you need a picture changing operator. You have to insert it. The only place you can insert it is in the midpoint. Creates a big trouble with the gauge invariance, and people have tried to work. I think Arefeva, Medvedev, and others work in picture minus two or picture zero. They try different pictures to get picture changing operators that collide better. And anyway, it's a difficult thing. So here is the idea to try to fix this problem. We'll try to use a string field that has picture zero. And that looks a little difficult, but it would be very convenient. So in fact, you want a string field that is so simple. You want a string field now that has those number, zero, we want a string field, and picture number of the string field zero as well. So how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to try to work on what is called the large Hilbert space. So remember, psi has picture number plus one. The natural string field over here has picture number minus one. So if somehow you have in the back of your mind the idea that psi that you want could be something like psi times this field, you would be in good shape. You see, the ghost number and the picture number would be fixed, because this has ghost number minus one, this has ghost number one. You go to ghost number zero, and picture number, this has picture minus one, picture plus one, and you would be in good shape. So since we're talking about a large Hilbert space, the large Hilbert space includes psi zero, which is the zero mode of the psi field, another anti-commuting zero mode. Now, if we're going to include this anti-commuting zero mode, we are going to have a larger space. Certainly, the space is at least going to double, because you have one more zero mode that you can add to any state. So you need more gauge invariance. So the idea is to have two gauge invariances, one generated by Q that squares to zero, and one generated by the zero mode of this dimension one primary. This zero mode of this dimension one primary is anti-commuting and also satisfies, therefore, it only has non-trivial OPEs with psi, so eta zero squared is equal to zero. You should also first note that psi 0, eta 0, anti-commutator is 1. So here is the The real change that is happening is that while for open bosonic strings we had one derivation, Q, we're going to have two and two gauge invariants. So we're going to go to a larger Hilbert space to allow ourselves fields that don't have those number and those have picture, and we're going to need more gauge invariants. So let me justify this a little more by showing you the linearized field equations. Now, the linearized field equations will be of the form, one more thing, Q and eta 0 anti-commute. You need the expression of Q to see that, it's a fact. So what is the equation of motion? Q, eta naught, phi equals 0. That's the tentative equation of motion. Let's try to see if it makes sense. Well, this equation of motion has two gauge invariances. Phi goes to phi plus q lambda, and phi goes to phi plus eta 0 omega. Those two linearized gauge invariants. Now, if you have an invariance of this type, you can choose a spring field that is annihilated by the other one. You can make psi 0 annihilate phi. And that's clear, because if it didn't annihilate phi, you add to it minus eta 0 psi 0 phi, which is something of this form. And now look, you have to psi 0, you get psi 0 on this. You have to another psi 0, you get the 1, and you cancel it. So you certainly can make this of this form. So you can make this annihilate this state. Now, since psi 0 has no cohomology, you can now write phi as psi 0 times another one. Has no cohomology. Now, this thing is invariant, this result is invariant if you add to it anything with psi 0. So here there is a gauge invariance as well. This can go to this plus psi 0 times anything. So with this gauge invariance, you can choose this so that it is annihilated by eta 0 this time. You see, when you have this invariance, you can make it annihilated by this. When you have psi 0 invariance, you can make it annihilated by eta 0. So eta 0, and if you can choose phi hat so that eta 0 kills it. So I don't want to erase some of this. So what do we have in summary? We have learned from this analysis that phi is equal to psi 0, can be put in the form psi 0 hat, where eta 0 of phi hat is 0. And now you see that we basically realized this thing that we wanted there. If this has picture 0 and ghost number 0, this thing will have, because of this, picture minus 1 and ghost number 1, which is the conventional state. Let's go back to the equation of motion. Q eta 0 phi now becomes Q eta 0 psi 0 phi hat. The anti-commutator gives you 1, and this annihilates phi hat, so you get q phi hat equals 0, and you've recovered what has been claimed to be the conventional set of states. So we've gone to a larger Hilbert space. We've proposed a linearized field equation, and it gives you what you want. So the only problem now is constructing the nonlinear theory, preserving these two gauge invariances, or extending those two gauge invariances. I will not build it really, but discuss a little bit how it's formed. So first, the equation of motion. Equations of motion are very simple. So this theory is called West-Sumino-Witten-like models, two-dimensional West-Sumino-Witten-like models, in analogy to that two-dimensional field theory that has holomorphic and anti-holomorphic derivatives. Here would be Q and eta zero. So while open string field theory used to be Chern-Simons, closed string field theories, Lie algebras in homotopies, this is two differentials. And that's the sort of structure of this theory. And Warren looks smiling. No, I haven't. So, what is the equation of motion? The equation of motion is quite pretty. It's eta zero, e to the minus phi, q, e to the phi, equals zero. Now, it requires a little bit of notation to see what you mean by this. But look, if you have a string field that has those numbers zero, and picture number zero, this thing is some object of those number zero and picture number zero. And the exponential is defined through the star product of Witten, the associative star product of Witten. So a little ambiguity maybe that you might think, so what is the leading term? It would be one. What is one here? You can think of it as the identity string field. But you don't have to bother, because Q annihilates the identity, so this really begins with Q acting on phi. And this is one times something, so this is something that is basically Q phi plus things more complicated than that. So this is the field equation. Now, a little about the action. The action, we have to remember one thing that Martin already alerted us. If you have in the small Hilbert space C, B, C, B squared C being different from zero, now you have the zero mode of the psi, so you must insert one more psi in here, and that's different from zero in the large Hilbert space. So this has Gauss number minus 1. So you need something of Gauss number plus 2 and picture minus 1 in this framework in order to get non-zero correlators. Gauss number, you have 3 here, minus 1 is 2. Picture, you have minus 2 but plus 1. Picture, minus 1. So how does the kinetic term look? We wrote just the action like that, but the kinetic term, S2, is roughly like eta phi q phi. And that works well. Yeah, of course. This has Gauss number 0, Gauss number 0, Gauss number 1, and eta, you see there, Gauss number 1. So you got Gauss number 2, right? Picture 0, picture 0, picture 0, picture minus 1. So you got this right. This would give that linearized equation of motion. The full thing is West-Sumino-Witten. So we can write it. It takes a little notation. Let me put this notation here. Small details on the notation. I might as well show you the looks of the gauge transformations. The gauge transformations that we had here, two parameters, break into two pieces. These things don't really mix. Delta of e to the phi is easy to write, not delta of phi. And that's q lambda times e to the phi plus e to the phi times eta zero omega. That's the linear, the nonlinear version. Finally, we can write the action. And for, I want to make one comment here that is rather interesting, is that this field equation has a rather nice structure. If you think of open bosonic strings, this is a ghost number zero string field. Remember open bosonic strings. What did we have? We had this equals q lambda plus lambda star phi minus phi star lambda. This was ghost number one, and this was ghost number zero. This is for the gauge invariant. Now, if you formed here e to the minus lambda q e to the lambda, which is a natural thing to do, because this has ghost number zero in open bosonic strings, this would be called a pure gauge solution of open bosonic string field theory, because this would be ghost number one built with a gauge parameter like that. So this, in a sense, is formally a pure gauge string field in open bosonic string theory, built with the ghost number zero field now, because in the superstring that's ghost number zero. So that's structurally the answer. Now the action, of course, takes a little more. You have to define two small ingredients. So let's see that. Just in order to write it, I think it might as well see. If you define AX to be e to the minus T phi X e to the T phi, T is a number that will go from 0 to 1, and X is an operator that is a derivation. So if you put Q here, it would be e to the minus T phi Q acting on this exponential. And this is analogous to the things in West Sumino Witten, in which you have g minus 1 dg, basically. And you use a derivation, and you have x. And your derivations, of course, x could be q, could be eta, and in fact could be p, if you think what that may mean. At will define as e to the minus t phi, dt formally of e to the t phi. Now, of course, that's a simple thing, but it's okay to write it like that as well. It's just phi. So here is the action. Integral from 0 to 1 dt, dt a eta aq plus at aq anti-commutator a eta. Now, it may seem, you know, what you recall is that you need this sort of, in West Sumino Witten, this sort of T homotopy just for the interaction. Indeed, that's true. Here's a total derivative. So I could have written this evaluated at T equal 1. But here is the sort of West Sumino Witten term. And if you play with it a little bit, develop a set of properties, not too difficult to show the motion follows, the gauge invariant follows, but it takes a little work. the structure is it's a little sophisticated. So that's open superstrings.
What are the double brackets?
The double, this is a strange notation. Here it just means you're going to supposed to take the correlator and every product is evaluated with a star product. So this is gauge invariant. Now, the bosonic strings, the quantization can be done with Batalion-Wilkowiecki quantization, and the result is really quite beautiful in the following sense. You start with an action, and you have a string field of Gauss number 1, and the gauge-fixed quantum action, you just need to relax the condition on the Gauss number of the string, and the action is the same. But now the string contains all Gauss numbers. That is not obviously true in this action, and the quantization of this action, the Fadev-Popov Gauss for Gauss, the structure, whether you should relax the picture, that sounds hard. I don't know. The question is how to do this Fadev-Popov quantization of this. So you can sort of do terms and understand things well there, but in loops I think it's still not clear how this action will work. But being gauge invariant, reproducing the spectrum, all these things suggest that probably if it's understood, it will work out. Yes, guys?
So, in quantum bosonic
theory, the model
I said,
Yes, all these interactions introduce no moduli. Like the closed string interactions filled missing regions. Here they don't. So this four-point interaction, 5^4 with all these things, is on a fixed Riemann surface. It's four strings coming together, no integration over moduli. The effect of this interaction is somehow do something with the super moduli in a very clever way that I don't understand. Somehow it's moving. In a normal picture, you would have to move picture-changing operators from one side to the other of the diagram. These terms are helping you do that. And I think Nathan has computed amplitudes and maybe can say something about this. Because psi is near final. All right, so 15 minutes for heterotic strings. Okay, so what changes now? All these ghost numbers and conventions may be dancing in your head, but I hope not too much. So let me leave this here. Table is always useful. So heterotic . There's one thing that is probably interesting to note here is that eta and q enter in the same footing in this theory. They're really completely symmetric. Eta and q are both derivations of the star product, both square to zero, the anti-commute is very simple. Now, how are we going to do heterotic string field theory, Nevers-Schwarz? Well, we'll try to tensor a phi of the super open superstring with a phi of an open bosonic on the right sector. So let's remember what we had here. This phi was Grassmann even. This one was Grassmann odd. This one had Gauss number 0. This one had Gauss number 1, this one has picture number 0, and this one has picture, no picture even, doesn't apply on that side, of course. And now we're going to form, therefore, naturally, a string field, heterotic string field V, that should have, given this tensoring nature, we expect it to be Grassmann odd, ghost number 1, and picture number 0. If you want to see how this, moreover, this is a closed string field. So we cannot do away, unfortunately, from B equals L0 minus L0 bar, B equals 0, either. And whenever I will write something like AB, it must have the C0 minus. Now this is certainly right for describing what we want. You can see it as follows. At least the natural vertex operator, V, we know its picture number is Nevesh-Schwarz sector. This has picture 0. We know the V has a psi, that's the usual vertex operator. The usual vertex operator will be CC bar, e to the minus phi, matter on the vacuum. And this is the usual heterotic string stuff, and that's supplemented by psi as before to get picture number 0. So we certainly want still an equation of motion of the type eta 0 q, or q eta 0, v equals 0 at linearized equation of motion. Why? Because we still want to physically be able to get rid of psi and get to the conventional string field, which satisfies standard q equals 0, and the steps are really identical to the steps I did before. Now, how about this thing? This changes a little bit. It now has just psi e to the this, and we have c bar, d c bar, d squared c bar. So correlators must have ghost number 5, actually 6, minus 1, and picture number minus 1. So what can we write? Well, S2, it's simple actually, it's eta V QV. Let's see why this works. Well, you would expect eta to be self-adjoint in this linear program, so you would get this field equation. Let's look at the quantum numbers. Ghost number. This has ghost number 1, 2, 3, eta 4, and the C0 minus 5. So you'll find here. Picture number minus 1. That basically tells you that each term you're going to write at most can have one eta because it produces negative picture. And we'll go on with that. So this is fine. This is S2. How about S3? What can you write? Well, you don't run into too much trouble with S3, and you can write eta V, and now you have the closed string products. So you want something with V and V here, a cubic thing. Now remember, this is graded commutative, this is closed string field theory, and this is Grassmann odd, so that would be 0, so this is not good. You must have some Q in there. In fact, one Q will do. And let's see what you get now. Look at the ghost numbers. 1 plus 1, 2, 3. The star product reduces one ghost number, so this is back to 2. Now, you don't have to do more arithmetic. This was ghost number 2, and this is ghost number 2, so the numbers work. Five minutes is probably enough to finish this. So the next term, I think, still is worth writing it a little bit. And here is when things become sort of interesting. S4, 1/4, and here comes eta v, and you have v, the triple product of closed string field theory. Now, how can you fix this? Of course, this would be completely equal to zero. You cannot even tolerate having one q would not be enough, because this is graded commutative. So you better have two q's. So the q's are starting to proliferate. Now, will that work? Remember, the triple product subtracts ghost number minus 3. 1 for the b0 minus and 2 for moduli. So you have 2 ghost number 2. And 1 is 5, minus 3 is ghost number 2, which is again good. You don't need the second thing to have ghost number 2. So you're fine. But this would be very close string field theory, like just the quartic interaction. But that doesn't produce gauge invariance. You need to add one more term, plus eta v, and this one, the sort of the Jacobi term, must be there as well for the gauge invariance. You see that the symmetry between eta and q has been totally destroyed. And the reason is clear. Eta is still a derivation of all the products of the closed string field theory, because there's no supermoduli. But q fails to be a derivation, so q has to work differently. So the ghost number here works well as well. This is 2 and 1, 3. Minus 1 is 2. Plus 1 is 3. Minus 1 is 2, and you're fine. So this... No bracket missing. This is the triple product. No, but the triple product is one string field. Three inputs, one string field. Is that right? Anything in here must be one string field and one string field. This is the triple product of three string fields giving you one string field. No, it's just saying that three string fields can be made to interact this way or this way as well. And this term is also needed for the gauge invariance. Remember, when we had the triple interaction, it was related to the failure of the Jacobi of two brackets. So both are present here. This is in bosonic string theory, this would not have enough moduli. This has moduli, but this has no moduli because it's just a three-point interaction iterated. So it's very surprising. It appears... In the moment you've defined the product, you've always imposed a projector to L0 minus L0 bar and B0 minus B0 bar implicit. B, of course, satisfies this. Sure. Yes, it definitely. Yes, here. In the inner product. Whenever I write an open string inner product, has no C0 minus. A closed string inner product has a C0 minus. That's why we got the 5. You see, we had to get ghost number 5 according to that rule, and we have 1, 1, 1, 1. It's missing 1, but the C0 minus is there. Okay, let me try to wrap up. Well, with Yuji, we did this work, and we got the five-point interaction, and it got more complicated, and it seemed that it would be very difficult to guess what is the complete answer. But then Nathan came to our help, and we wrote a paper, and it was all completed. It's a little exotic, but at least the field equation, remember the field equation for the open thing was e to the minus 5 q e to the minus 5. Which one? This one was black. For the heterotic string, the field equation is eta 0 times something that we call psi q bar, which is a pure gauge closed string field. You see, remember here, this is ghost number 0, and it's the right thing to be thought as a gauge parameter of open string theory. In closed string theory, a gauge parameter is ghost number 1. So you take the string field V, think of it as a gauge parameter, make a pure gauge closed string field, eta on this equals 0, this will produce this whole series in the right way, and will give you the answer. No, no, it's not separate the gauge invariant. It's in order to fix the gauge in at order 4. Yeah, no, nothing stops. You see, at least in the closed string sector, you need all the vertices to fill the moduli space. So it would be very suspicious if you would be able to stop before. Would be very strange. So let me conclude by saying a couple of things about type 2. And will be 3 minutes. It's something that doesn't work, but maybe with some cleverness it will. But let me tell you what more or less happens there. So you would think naively that for type 2, you could tensor as open super to an open super. That is at least naively the case. And then the string field, we could call F, would have picture changing total picture 0, total ghost number 0. And this time, the total thing that must give you non-vanishing inner products is this, C phi bar C, D, C, D squared C, C bar, D C bar, D squared C bar. That's different from 0. And that has ghost number 4 and picture equal minus 2. Well, this calls for something really pretty and different, but we don't know what it is. So at first sight, the obvious thing that you're going to do is try to get a field equation of the form Q, eta bar F equals 0, because you have to remove from the string field 1 and 1 and that. So now you have 3 things, not 2 like for open superstring. You have something geometrical with 3 things. Okay, well, this actually seems to go through at the beginning. This is Grassmann even. And look, at the beginning you have F, you could put F, Q, eta bar F. Let's see the ghost numbers. Well, this has ghost number 0, but we have 1, 2, 3, C0 minus is 4. You're fine with ghost number 4. Picture minus 2, the eta and the eta bar, you seem to be okay for a quadratic term. Well, but then things... Now, this is very strange, because I've always believed that if you can get the quadratic things to really work, you don't find trouble later, but you do find strange trouble later if you go this way. let me explain what it is. Now, suppose you want to go to an interaction. Suppose you want to go next step. Let's see, eta bar F, and you want to put two more Fs to get things to work. Well, actually, you need two Qs. Let's see that. Let's see if we can see it at least. You can think of this, let me put it some other way. Eta bar F, QF. The same thing, I've moved around things. So this must have ghost number one. Well, this has ghost number zero. This has ghost number zero. And this reduces the ghost number by one. So you would land, if you would have it like that, this is okay, but you would land with ghost number minus one and you want ghost number plus one. So you can put two Qs here. You think you can put two Qs here, but actually you can't, because this is Grassmann even, and this is odd, and this would vanish. But it's not a terrible failure. You can put the Q on this side and survive. But then if you go one more, eta F, and you go F, 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 the ghost number now of this intrinsic thing is minus 3. So this thing, you only need 4 Qs to lift it to ghost number. One Q can go here, you need 3 Qs here, but now this vanishes. So you cannot write the terms you want. Something has gone wrong. Seems we're doing the wrong thing. We never wrote, of course, our attempts. They fail very obviously. Probably the reason is that in a sense, in closed string theory, if you even think of closed strings, bosonic closed string field theory, it's not really the tensor product of two opens, but it's sort of the tensor product of a gauge invariant open with a gauge fixed open. Because you get the C0 that is telling you something with gauge fixing. So maybe a better strategy would be to finally, somebody should do the job of quantizing Nathan's thing, and then try to tensor the gauge invariant WZW with a gauge fixed WZW, or something more imaginative must be done here. So that concludes the lecture. Thank you very much. Right. Correct. Just Neve-Schwarz sector, even. We cannot get it to work yet. And it would seem nice if it could. Yes, Michael. That's the cubic what? Oh, the Witten. So, you know, nobody, I think, has tried it since the cubic open superstring is. Its bill of health is not too good. I don't know if people want to do that, but maybe it will work. Anything, you know, maybe heterosis should be a little more imaginative, and we should do it better. But it doesn't look like a terribly complicated problem. You know, but once you get to the details, you see that heterotic synthesis here was very natural, and this one, something, you need too many cues. You see, basically, you're trying to a field of picture minus two, because you see what the Qs do, you have the psi and the real things, or the psi bar, the Q is psi produces the picture changing operator. So actually, you need too many picture changing operators, and they cannot be sort of carried by Q because it squares to zero, and you cannot put too many Qs in here. This proliferates. If you go to higher and higher interactions, you need like, you have like n string fields, and you need like order 2n Qs in order to get the right ghost number and to clean things. So somehow, you know, people have suggested to me what happens in closed string field theory if you try to do Q left times Q right psi equals the kinetic term, you know, all kinds. This is would be suggested by WZW. You use eta zero, both are nilpotent, but this has never worked, and you know, there are all kinds of elegant proposals that never get off the ground. And I don't think we probably have to invent something terribly sophisticated to get the type 2, but you know. Gary? Right. Other comments? Chris? No. You see, the Witten form cubic theory, he could do the Ramon sector with a lot of more picture-changing operators. When Nathan tries to do the Ramon sector, he has to sort of break a bit the Lorentz invariant. So I guess in this formulation, you don't have something fully Lorentz invariant if you have Ramon. So since we don't want to go the route of picture-changing operators a la Witten at this moment, we just try to solve even the simpler problem. Now, you know, it has... why? I don't know exactly why it's a... Nathan can say, but there's one thing that you should expect, that while I think that it doesn't require an incredible imagination to solve this problem, the Ramon-Ramon covariant string theory is going to solve the problem of writing a covariant formulation for the five-form, which essentially nobody knows how to do. So if that string theory could be written in the Ramon-Ramon sector covariant, that's going to be really surprising and quite amazing. So if you break some Lorentz symmetry, maybe the five-form is more tractable. That may be the reason. Nathan, you want? Thank you.